This is Jonathan Caviera, and you're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Your host, Lou Lombardi, here, and we've got Jonathan Caviera on with us again today. Jonathan is becoming kind of a regular on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. We love talking to him. Wildly interesting guy, and he's got this record, Blue Room, and it's got some great tracks on it, so we're going to be sampling a little bit of that later on. As I said, you are listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Our website is LudiniRockandRollCircus.com. You can check back often for all your Ludini needs. We have some great merchandise there, a lot of cool stuff. New podcasts coming up almost on a daily basis now. Lots of great stories about great bands and artists, as well as our music podcast that we do. You can hang out with us live and do that. We do that every Sunday night on Facebook. Me and my brand new co-host, Lily Six from Rock Rage Radio, is now on the team as well. And my partnership with Keith Hawkins is still going to continue. Keith has just moved to New Orleans, and so we will be working with Keith probably via Skype. And we're looking forward to adding some new dimensions to what we're doing. So Ludini Rock and Roll Circus is where you can find out about all that stuff and check it out. It's a good time. As I was telling you guys at the beginning, we've got Jonathan Caviera on with us today. He's a Phoenix-based singer-songwriter, a pop performer, no stranger to writing catchy tunes that blend wide-ranging influences into a multifaceted yet cohesive sound. Oh, very well written there, Jonathan. I like it. John, welcome back. Jonathan, welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. How you doing?
Hey, Lou. Thanks for having me again.
So what's been going on? What is you've got Blue Room, which is your latest record, and you worked with Nico Essig on this?
Yeah, Nico Essig. Katy Perry and the Goo Goo Dolls and Paul McCartney, a bunch of other people in various roles he's played in the studio over the years. I met up with him over the summer and we did a couple of songs, and I was able to kind of crowbar in the one mix that he did, one of the early ones of the Blue Room remix that we did for the video. We were filming at the same time, so one of the first songs he mixed for me was the video. It was awesome.
Tell me a little bit about what Blue Room is. Is Blue Room, and I was a little confused on reading your bio, are these all like new tunes, or is this a remix of other tunes, or what is this exactly?
So I released the album called Blue Room back in August timeframe, but then I met up with Nico and we decided that I liked what he did so much with a couple of the songs that we were working on. I decided to go back and remix every song on that album.
Okay.
Plus, I added two more unreleased tracks that he also mixed. But the coolest thing was, besides working with him, and he made it sound great, of course, was during the summer, I had a chance to work at Capitol Records and recorded there about six or seven times. And also, that was in Hollywood. And also, I worked at Blackbird Studio in Nashville. So I did a lot of the vocals over for this song, for these songs on this remix album, plus 20 other songs that are going to be used for other future releases.
Oh, wow. So you were using that studio time well.
Exactly.
Oh, I like it. How did you get hooked up with Nico?
It's funny because I found him, I don't know, at random. I was looking up producers and engineers online, and I found this website that he uses as a platform with other producers and engineers, and sent him an email with, you know, my contact information and, you know, my links to my website and my videos and stuff. And he's like, sure, man, sounds good. What do you want to do?
Oh, cool.
And that was it. And that was pretty much it.
So did you guys work? So did you guys work together in real time, or did you just send in the stuff, or how did it work?
It was all correspondence.
Okay.
We did meet when I was in Hollywood, when I was tracking at Capitol. One of the days I was there, we met, had dinner. So it was nice to meet him in person.
Right.
But all of our work was uploaded to like a common space file sharing mm-hmm. platform, where he would just go take my files down and mix them from scratch. And so sometimes I give him brand new vocal takes that I did at one of the studios, or I give them the raw stems that we did from the original tracking of Blue Room.
Did Nico act as a producer as well as a mixing engineer? Did he give you feedback?
It was mostly a mixing engineer situation, although in some of his selections, he kind of acted as producer by removing instruments that I had in the previous mixes, for example, and you know, and stuff like, because my previous mixes that I did with Jason were really kind of cluttered, and so he stripped them back. But that was me, because I wanted all my little instruments in there, and Jason goes, okay, man, whatever. But it was great. So it was just good to have a different set of ears on the songs. And then once he was done with the collection, he was still mixing some of the other songs that I'm holding back for future releases. I took it back to Capitol and worked with Evren Gaknar. He's a Grammy award-winning mastering engineer who works there at Capitol next to where I was recording tracking all summer. And he did the mastering.
Okay.
I got you. what a great experience, right? So I was trying to get in there ever since I was a kid, and I worked there all summer and just did hours and hours. There were two days I did back-to-back 12-hour days.
Wait a minute. You sang. You didn't do. You weren't just singing, though. Were you singing for 12 freaking hours?
I sang for probably 9 hours both days.
Holy cow! So wait a minute. You must have an amazing vocal coach. Do you work with a vocal coach?
I don't know, but I think it's probably just tennis.
Wow. Well, yeah, you know, singing is very physical. I mean, I sing as well, and I work with a vocal coach, and very often after our sessions, I am like, well, I just feel like I worked out. So, you know, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Exactly.
Holy cow. So what is, what do you plan on doing with these other, cause I'm really curious now, you've got you said it's another 20 songs or 20 songs?
Yeah.
Another 20. So what are you going to do? You're going to are we going to hear singles? You're going to put together, like, do you have the next two albums in the can, or like what?
Yeah, I have the next album kind of sequenced with the songs that I did, but
nice.
They still need a lot of other tracking done to them, cause they were pretty much in demo stage when I was doing the lead vocals to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I plan on picking away those over the next year or so, maybe 6 months. I might do an EP and release an EP in the summer. I haven't decided.
Okay. You have a lot of options. I was listening through Blue Room, compared to the music that I heard from you, like originally, I hear more of a I don't want to say variety, because you're not like a variety act, but I hear more influences. Like, actually, some of the stuff I was kind of surprised kind of has a little bit more of a rock edge, you know.
Yeah.
And your traditional sort of one foot always in the 80s kind of like vibe is there, you know. So was this like an intentional thing to sort of branch out a little bit, or did it just sort of flow that way?
For example, Thank You Letter is pretty heavy. That's the last song that we added. It was just something that it just came organically. I wrote on an acoustic guitar, mm-hmm. and I started tracking it with electric guitars. And the way Nico mixed it, he brought forward the electric guitars. But the drum sound, and then on this one, just like I did on the premiere album, I used the 12-string bass that Tom Peterson used in Cheap Trick.
Yeah.
So you add that 12-string bass with the electric guitars and somewhat of a slamming drum sound, it's going to be bigger.
It's going to sound bigger. I got you.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're going to go ahead. Let's go ahead and play, because we're not going to play Thank You. We're going to play Everything in Your Dreams. Then I'm going to come back and talk to you about Kaver covers and some of the other things you have going on. So
sure.
We're going to go ahead and check out Everything in Your Dreams. This is Everything in Your Dreams, Jonathan Kaver on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
I didn't want to compromise. Sacrifice the image of my mind. Give it time to materialize. I know the words when they arrive. Here's my imagination. Here's the reality. stop my procrastination, I'd be who I could be, and we'd be happy, we'd be free. Imagine the possibilities if we lived our life like we could be everything in our dreams. I let my mind think about all the wonders all around. In this life, there are no mistakes. I turn the corner and I turn a page. Here's my imagination. Here's the reality. If I could stop my procrastination, I'd be who I could be. And we'd be happy. And we'd be free. Imagine the possibilities. If we lived our life like we could be everything in our dreams. Came into my life just when I needed you. I was waiting for a sign. This is the first day of my life. Stop my procrastination, I'd be who I could be. And we'd be happy. And we'd be free. Imagine the possibilities. If we lived our life like we could be everything in our dreams. Everything in our dreams. Everything in our dreams, yeah. Everything in our dreams.
Now, this is a track that is like more acoustic based. And was this like added later, or was this originally on the record? I'm just trying to clarify what we got in the notes here.
This one plus that Thank You Letter song I mentioned earlier were the two we added.
Okay.
But they fit very well with the other collection of songs because a lot of the other ones had the acoustic based thing. Right. And so Somebody Like You and Someday and Far Away, those are all kind of acoustic guitar based songs. Mm-hmm. So they work closely with that. But I don't know. You're right. I do have that step in the foot in the past with the 80s thing, like you mentioned. But I tend to do that with just the keyboards. I like to update the drum sounds with a much more modern drum sound. And then I just like the idea of adding a lot more acoustic guitars because back in the day, there weren't a lot of acoustic guitars with that 80s keyboard sound. It was mostly electric guitar sounding stuff like Missing Persons or whatever.
Right, right, right. And a lot of keys. Well, see, that's what I think gives it the unique sound is that You know, because it doesn't sound like, you know, oh, this is an 80s throwback act. It sounds like it has that little bit of that flavor, which actually kind of makes it sound fresh. You know, there's all these rock bands out right now, because I'm in the rock thing, that have the, you know, like Greta Von Fleet and these bands that are Rival Sons that sound like, you know, Led Zeppelin 3. You know, they have that 70s thing, you know. So, but it sounds, because it's kind of coming around again, people haven't heard that in a while, and these guys are putting a modern sort of vibe to it. I see that exactly with what you're doing with your music, is you like, well, this is just who I am, but I'm today as well. So that's kind of how I think it comes across, you know. So you have something else going on that I'm really kind of interested in, because I think that covers are fun. I think that people like covers. I think that, you know, we've seen in the past a lot of acts, you know, kind of realizing that fans do enjoy, you know, a clever cover here and there. I mean, you can go back and all the way back to the Beatles. You know, they broke with some cover songs as well. The Stones, Van Halen, a lot of acts like that. So tell us about Kaver covers. What is this all about?
So it was mostly during 16 and 17. I didn't do very many of those because I was so busy trying to get the Blue Room album together. But it was just every month or two, I'd release a cover song that typically I was doing inside my live set. I did a Cheap Trick song, a Sting song. I did Save a Prayer by Duran Duran.
Oh, nice.
That one's pretty close in terms of the keyboard programming and stuff. But then I also did a George Michael song, and it was really just it's called Waiting Reprise. It was off his Listen Without Prejudice album. It's kind of a album cut song, mm-hmm. but it's funny because I added like a chorus to it that wasn't there originally.
Oh.
And it's funny because when I saw a really early interview with him, and he said that he was working at his parents' restaurant, and he used to hear stuff on the radio, and he'd say to himself, I would have gone this way with that song, not the way they went, right? And mm-hmm. he would, in his mind, kind of rewrote some of the melodies.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny because that song, I felt like it needed to do just that. So I did that with one of his songs, you know, and then it was really sad because I released it, and then about a month later, he passed.
Yeah. Well,
I know. So
it's a nice homage, though, in a way. You know, you could look at it that way as well.
I do, and I really, really loved his music, and still listen to it. And so that song is always going to be very close to me and a lot of my fans.
What songs are, you know, that maybe they come across the radio to you, or maybe you grew up listening to, that you're going like, I need to do a Kaver cover of that?
I like this song called One Thing by NXS.
Oh yeah.
I do that one. I also like Ordinary World by Duran Duran. That one's really good.
Yeah.
I like the Barely Breathing song by Duncan Sheik.
Oh yeah, great track.
Right. And what was that other one? I do Street Cafe by Ice House. It's an old Ice House song.
Okay.
They weren't real big in America. They're huge in Australia. But a lot of these bands, what else do I do? Vienna by Ultravox.
Okay.
And so I do some older stuff. I'm looking at doing maybe some Shawn Mendes or something more modern. I went to the AMAs and I saw him. He was incredible.
What? Where can people find these tracks that you're doing?
Yeah, all the songs, the Kaver covers are on iTunes and Amazon.
Okay.
And if people just start on kavermusic.com, they can launch from there.
Kavermusic.com is like your official, like your home base?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool. Okay, so you've got the albums in the can. So what are you going to do for the next year? What does the next 6 to 12 months look like? I mean, I'm sure you're going to play a lot of tennis because that's your fountain of youth. But musically, what do you have coming up? I mean, what are you going to be doing?
Yeah, I'm all through the summer and the fall, I put together a live band in Hollywood.
Okay.
So I have two different bass players, two different drummers, because a lot of them are session cats and they're off with different people. So I have, you know, kind of pick and play different guys available, and they all know about 12 songs, so we can go out and play shows and play with other acts in Hollywood starting this year. And also I'm going to be doing a bunch of acoustic shows like I kind of did last year a bit. But then I got so obsessed with the recording thing that came out of the blue that I just put the live thing aside to do the studio thing, because I wanted to strike while the iron was hot, as they say.
Yeah, of course. What do you attribute to this prolific phase that you seem to be going through, man? You are just like on frickin' fire.
Well, I have a lot of songs I've written over the years that I'll retool. Mm-hmm. But in the middle of doing that, I'll get inspired to write a new one or two. So one of the things I did when I was younger in my single pathetic days, okay. I used to pretend to be one of those Neil Diamond, Neil Sedaka, New York jingle songwriter guys where I'd have to write a song every week and track it and get it done and mixed all in one week.
Okay.
That's what they used to do. They used to go to the office and they would sit there in little cubicles, and that's what they would do. And so I used to imagine myself as one of those guys. And so I used to write a lot like that. So I took a lot of my songs recently that were older ones that I retooled, like I said, and then I'll write a few more, like Thank You Letter was new. And then a lot of the new ones that you haven't heard yet that are part of the 20, a lot of those are brand new songs with some retooling. For example, Hollywood, that's on this album, was an older song that I never released. I mean, it's old for me, but no one's ever heard it.
Okay, I got you. They've been hanging. So is that your sort of work ethic then with the songwriting, is to, you know, sit down and just get it done? You know, this is my, you know, that's the what's his do you ever read? You should read maybe probably have the War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. That's really what you described kind of reminds me of that. If I don't know if you're familiar with that book, but it's, you know, his ethic is he's a writer. He was the guy that wrote The Legend of Bagger Vance, and that's how he did it. He just
right.
Sit down. I don't care what I'm writing. I'm just writing. I'm working on it. Is that the sort of how you do it typically, or have you graduated from that?
I do both. It just depends when the inspiration strikes. I mean, all through the summer, I was, you know, every 3 or 4 weeks I was going back to Capitol, and I needed to bring like 5 to 6 songs.
Mm. Okay.
You know, and so I had every week I had to get like 2 songs done almost, right? So yeah. It was just some of it was reaching in the past and grabbing some old demos and then tracking them, getting them suitable enough to be able to take them in there and track vocals to, or some I just write brand new songs.
How did you get that opportunity to get into Capitol Studios like that much? I mean, was it where you just did you just like purchase the studio time, or was there something that, you know, some sort of other circumstance that happened with that?
Well, pretty much it's just I'm renting the room and
gotcha.
The engineer.
I got you.
But they don't let anybody in there. You know, you got to. They checked me out and we had a little phone conversation. I did a walkthrough of the studio one of the days I was in Hollywood. They let me come through, and it was supposed to be 15 minutes. It ended up being an hour and a half because I hit it off with the people there.
Oh, good sign. Yeah.
It was just great. It was like family. Everyone, it was great. And I met Everin that day. I met Ira that day, the tracking engineer I worked with. And that day I walked through for the audit, I just met all the people I was going to end up working with. And the other small world story was the lady who heads up the place goes to Jason, my engineer I worked with for years, is Paula Salvatore. And she used to work at Sound City.
Mm-hmm.
Where
oh, yeah.
Right? That's the whole video that Dave Grohl did. She's in that video.
Oh, okay.
And so she used to do like, and she still does panels at the academy where my other engineer, Jason, works. So Jason knew her. I didn't know that she knew Jason. It was this weird kind of synergy thing where, wow, we all know each other.
Yeah.
So that's what that first day was like. And it is kind of said, well, whatever you want to do.
There you are.
I was like, oh my God, I've been waiting for 25 years for you to say that.
switch gears one more time here. What are you listening to? What's on your I don't know if you're a Spotify or iTunes guy. What's on your playlist right now that you're like you're totally grooving to?
It's funny you asked that. I've been listening to David Helpling.
Okay.
David Helpling is like this really good new age artist. He's like guitar, infinite guitar, kind of atmospheric stuff. Kind of like Robert Fripp sort of stuff.
Okay.
I listen to a lot of new age, actually. I mean, I'm a singer-songwriter guy, but I'll listen to other people. I was listening to Reputation a lot, the new Taylor Swift. And just to keep things balanced, I've been listening to the new Katy Perry, just to keep the camps balanced, right? Been listening to those two a lot, but mostly audiobooks. I just finished a really long, I do a lot of audiobooks. In fact, in 2017, I did 58 audiobooks.
Oh, you got me beat, man. I'm an Audible like a addict too, but I didn't do that many in 2017.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I love Audible, yeah.
It's great. So that or old ones. So I just finished a really long Tony Robbins one. It was excellent.
Oh, Tony Robbins. Yeah, fantastic. All right. Any parting thoughts? Anything you want the audience to know before we get out of here today, Jonathan?
Just check out the Instagram posts. We're doing a lot of posts right now. And those who are in the Phoenix area, check out the Teal Blue Coffee Show that's coming up February 10th at like 5 to 7. I do like two sets. And then watch for the website because I'll be playing in other places, not only in Arizona, but I'll also probably be playing in Nashville. And also in the LA area.
And that website is kavermusic.com?
That's right.
Okay. All right, Jonathan. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Just give me one second. I'm going to wrap things up, and I need to do a little business with you before we get out of here. So.
All right. Thanks a lot.
No problem. Guys, Jonathan Kaver, always a great guest. Always got a lot to talk about. He's like on freaking fire with the songwriting stuff, just kind of cranking it out. He has a great work ethic and just love talking to him. Really good stuff. Please check out Blue Room. And you can just go to kavermusic.com and there's all the jumping off points. And he's especially active on Instagram, so you guys can have fun with that. Kavermusic.com is where you can find all that. Guys, you've been listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini. Go to ludinirockandrollcircus.com for all your Ludini needs. We've got merchandise. We've got all kind of cool stuff there. Also, you can subscribe to us on iTunes and never miss an episode. It just pops right up on your iTunes every time something's new. And we've got great interviews, great music podcasts, and some short sort of, I don't know what do you call them, like tips and stuff like that that we put out there as well. So you can find all that at LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com and Ludini Rock and Roll Circus on iTunes. Guys, I can't believe we whittled away another podcast here, but it's fun as always. Special thanks to Jonathan Kaver for being here. One more time, his website is kavermusic.com. All right, guys, it's been fun. My name is Lou Lombardi, Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, and I just want to throw one more thing at you guys before we get out of here. Just remember, guys, no matter who you are, no matter where you go, no matter if you're recording at Sound City or if you're recording at Capitol Studios or you're just going to Hollywood just to sit on the beach and sip pina coladas, you, yes, you, my friend, are the revolution. LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. Check it out.